back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday, April 9th, 2025 on Connecticut Today. Hey, I wondered out loud if some state lawmakers may be trying to put Avelo Airlines out of business due to their impending contract with the federal government for migrant deportation flights. Yankee Institute head Carol Platt Lebo joined us to talk about Governor Ned Lamont's support for a controversial so-called warehouse bill squarely aimed, most people are saying, at the Amazon facilities in the state. Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist Dan Hart dropped by to chat with us about a possible gubernatorial candidate on the Republican side having to navigate the Trump White House policies, while CBS News reporter Linda Kenyon at the White House had the latest on those tariff twists and turns. So we have new angles of the Avelo Airlines story unfolding over the last few hours. Now, you remember, we were talking about this yesterday, and it's made news over the past couple of days, major outlets covering the fact that Avelo Airlines, which uses Tweed Airport in New Haven as a hub, and a lot of people I know fly Avelo back and forth to Florida and other spots, and they like the low prices, especially if you don't bring any too much luggage on board. So it came to be known first that Avelo has contracted with the federal government to run deportation flights, either domestically or internationally, as part of the Trump White House effort to deport migrants here, who the administration claims should not be here, criminal or otherwise. Now, these flights are not flying into or out of, at least at this point, Tweed New Haven Airport. We know that. These are for flights centered in and out of Mesa, Arizona. Now, of course, the Democratic majority in Hartford brought it upon themselves to again hold the presence of undocumented migrants or illegal aliens in this state, which costs taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars a year, to some sacramental level. This is Holy Communion for a lot of the people in Hartford. And we had William Tong, the attorney general, start acting like he's judge, jury, and executioner. And I want to know this, and I want to know that. This, when he doesn't have the right to know anything. Nobody in Hartford has the right to know anything. And they say, well, we may pull our support. Good. Pull the support for Avelo. And if that happens, there are going to be a lot of people in the state saying, you know what, if Avelo leaves, goodbye. That's it. Because Avelo said, and their boss has said, over the past couple of days, we took the migrant flights because we need the money. He's come out and said that. And again, you've heard in the news, and Christian just had it on his newscast there. You know, there's competition. These low-cost airlines, they compete too. Avelo and Breeze and all that. So where am I going here? Well, you knew this was going to happen. And I got to tell you, look, you know what? I know a lot of people in Hartford. I got to give it to Democrats in Hartford in this state. They don't back off. They will come at you, the mob at the state capitol. They will come at you like union enforcers, and they will take you out at the ankles and at the knees and however they want to. So just in the last couple of days, they have modified a bill in Hartford to go after Avelo. This story just posted in the Connecticut News Junkie. The General Assembly's Judiciary Committee advances a bill to further limit Connecticut agencies' cooperation with ICE. That's number one. Again, the slobbering love affair with illegals. And number two, they also, in this bill, say there would be penalties that would impact any company, including commercial airlines, that gets any Connecticut tax subsidy. So the Democratic majority in Hartford is taking the money they get from Democrats and Republicans in this state, and they have decided that they are judge, jury, and executioner. It is them who matter and not you. Man, they're coming after Avelo like a mob leg breaker. Last minute updates to a bill that would limit the type of info disclosed to federal immigration authorities includes language that would also impact any company, including commercial airlines, that gets any Connecticut tax subsidy. our lawmakers, they love to do this. So just because they get a tax subsidy, they get to say how a company conducts itself. Can you be any more arrogant? The arrogance of these people. And I'm not attacking them personally. I've had some of these people on the air. But politically, the arrogance of the leadership in Hartford to say, hey, we shall judge you. It is mind-numbing. So they're going after Avello here. After the boss of Avello, operating legally, said, hey, we contracted with the feds here because we need the money. Well, the powers that be in Hartford say, no. You don't know what's good for your company, or you don't know what's good to make a free and open decision in the way you conduct your business. You think what I read was just bad? Just wait. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. You tell me. Do you think the General Assembly of this state, lawmakers in this state, should have anything to say about how an independent business that, yes, does receive some state funding? I'm not going to deny that. But where do people in Hartford get off saying, no, it is our way or the highway? So state lawmakers continue in their utter arrogance to make value judgments about companies that simply operate in and out of Connecticut. Remember they did this with this Hamden company? Remember all the bad PR they gave that Hamden company a couple, three, 4 months back? Well, you know, we're going to bring sanctions against them because they participated in executions with their chemical, which they weren't doing anymore. What the hell do you care? We don't have the death penalty in Connecticut. Why should you step in and tell a company what they should do? Really? You've got nothing else to do in Hartford? God forbid you try and do something to lower prices for electric consumers. God forbid you loosen the reins you put on week after week after week on our law enforcement officers. God forbid you work on the crap graduation rates as far as illiteracy in this state. No, but we're worried about this. The bill in Hartford adds a provision that any company, any state contractor, or recipient of grants or other funding from the state are not to engage or assist in activities with immigration officials. That's according to our friend Steve Stafstrom, Democrat Bridgeport. That includes airlines, he said, without naming any names. Oh, come on, Steve. Have the guts to name Avello. Just have the guts. He said he knows of one that operates flights out of two of Connecticut's airports and has gotten a significant tax benefit. All right, fine. So pull it. You know, you. I got to tell you something. I'm not advocating this, but I got to tell you something. If Avello or any other airline left, I'd be like, way to go, Connecticut. As usual, nobody ticks off business like us. He said taxpayers are helping prop that company up and keep it operational. If they're getting funding, they should not be using any of that funding to deportation flights. That's not how our tax money should be spent, says you. The budget airline Avello, which offers flights out of Tweed, New Haven, and Bradley International Airport, recently signed a contract to fly federal deportation flights. Avello immediately did not return a request seeking comment for the story, but has told other news outlets they understand this is a sensitive and complicated topic. You know, part of me, the little bit of me, said I'd laugh if they said, screw it, we're out of here. That'd be par for the course for the state of confusion here. We talked about what's being called a warehouse bill, and without saying it officially, others are saying it, this may be targeting the big Amazon warehouses in the state. To talk about what this bill is all about and the ulterior motives here, our friend Carol Platt-Lebo, the head of the Yankee Institute for Public Policy. Hey, Carol, it's Paul here. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Great to be with you and your listeners. How are you?
I'm good, Carol, and I find this fascinating. They're not exactly saying it, but it appears, Carol, as you and one of your folks there, Frank Ritchie, has written about, We have a scenario here where it certainly seems like organized labor heading into an election cycle coming up for the governor's race is targeting some of these Amazon warehouses and other ones as well. Talk about this bill here.
Yes, well, that's exactly what they're doing. And it's really unfortunate because, you know, we should want a Connecticut where families and businesses can stay, grow, and thrive. And if we have a government that's taking aim at employers, then, of course, our job creators are going to leave the state. And that's not good for anybody. It's not good for the taxpayers. It's not good for job seekers. It's not good for the government. It's not good for anyone. And what this proposal will do is just introduce arbitrary standards and regulations that increase operational costs and make our state less competitive.
Now, as I understand the bill here, Carol, this would be by state fiat, not federal fiat, but by state fiat. Am I reading this right in saying this bill would force employers, they don't say it, but it's obviously Amazon, to allow workers to take a look at internal metrics or whatever, which some critics of the bill say they kind of already can. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, what it would do is provide employees with a description of any quotas and with the opportunity to review current and historical work data. Now, you know, the question is, what is the point of this? Because, you know, businesses and workers have an incentive to work together. We have laws already to make sure that our workplaces are safe and, you know, that workers are able to be taken care of properly as they should be. We have federal and state laws. We
sure.
have OSHA. We mm-hmm. have market incentives. And all these things work together to make sure that workers have a humane environment, as of course they should. And so adding more bureaucratic nonsense at the state level does nothing but make places like Amazon decide, you know what, I'm just going to go somewhere where it's easier to do business, just like they did, as you'll recall, in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's district back in the day.
Yeah, because
she went elsewhere.
Yeah, she thought it was a bad idea to have jobs, Carol, that would have started at $125,000 a year. Who needs those, right? Yes, she said, well, they didn't fit the neighborhood. Really? You know, I'm glad you brought her up, Carol, because sometimes some of the stuff, God bless the people on the other side of the fence, some of the stuff just doesn't make any sense. It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
That's the thing. And we all want workers to be protected. We all want, you know, reasonable regulations in place that make our workplaces safe for people. But the fact is that, you know, workers can, at this place, employees do have the opportunity to go and check on a kiosk to see what their productivity metrics are mm-hmm. at any time and any point. That is my understanding. And, you know, for the government to get involved and to set yet more regulations, to put yet more bureaucracy on top of people who want to come here and create jobs, strikes me as anything but a recipe for creating more opportunities for people and more jobs in our state. And that's what we should want. We should want to be attracting employers, not driving them away.
And Carol, from what I understand and from what I read, it's interesting because he usually doesn't glom onto this stuff early. The governor is really pushing this, is he not? I find that interesting. Is he maybe worried about union support coming up if he runs again? I don't know. But to see him out in front of this, I was a little surprised.
Well, it is interesting. You know, this was part of a bill that had a provision that was even worse, just as bad. That is, that would force taxpayers to pay unemployment for striking workers.
Yeah.
And so whether this is some sort of deal to try and, you know, sort of split the difference, whether this is a way to make the unions happy in advance of a reelection bid, it's very hard to speculate. But, you know, the fact is that whatever it is, you know, we should be trying to help the people of Connecticut and the representatives understand that what we really want are more opportunities for job creators to come here and bring jobs and opportunities for the people of Connecticut, not to drive those opportunities and those job creators away especially when we already have plenty of state and federal laws to protect our workers as they should be protected.
It's called the warehouse bill. It's kind of called that, or the Amazon bill. And Carol, where can my listeners go to read more about this and read some viewpoints from Yankee?
Yes, we have actually the testimony that our labor fellow, Frank Ritchie, delivered to the state legislature, and that can be found on our website, yankeeinstitute.org. Follow us on Twitter at Yankee Institute and on Instagram as well at Yankee Institute.
All right, Carol, great to hear from you. Take care, and I'm sure we will chalk down the road. Yes.
You bet. And everybody, join us for our gala on April 26th. You can also buy tickets. It's going to be a great night with Fox News' Guy Benson.
Excellent. All right, Carol, be good, and we'll talk down the road. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for joining. Letting me join you and your listeners today, Paul.
Thanks, Carol. Yeah, it's a midweek Wednesday, and that means it's time for this guy, Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist Dan Haar, who was, at least in some of the circles I hang out with, hang out in online, creating quite a ruckus. Mr. Haar, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Great to be here. Absolutely, yes.
Well, thank you. So now, as you might imagine, Dan, I keep an eye on some, shall we say, right-leaning sites locally. A lot of people, in fact, some you may even know in the state. And your piece on Aaron Stewart was not exactly, how should I put this, although it was a great piece, I loved it, warmly received, or are you surprised by that or not? And for people who didn't read it, talk about that piece.
Aaron Stewart has been a moderate Republican for the whole time any of us have been following her career. She's been mayor. She's only 37, but she's been mayor of New Britain, as you know, for 11 years. And she's done a credible job there. Some say much better than credible. Stabilizing that city's finances and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And her brand is really as a moderate Republican who gets things done. And so for her to write in an economic defense of Trump's disastrous tariffs from an economic standpoint, right? If you want to be a Trump loyalist, that's fine.
Yeah.
And you can say, I trust the guy and he's a winner and all that stuff. But there is no economic defense of the tariffs the way he has imposed the tariffs, as the case shows that he had to suspend today for 90 days.
Yeah.
And so when Aaron Stewart, Mayor Stewart, posted a defense of it on economic grounds, saying, I think it works, it's good economics, that's what I teed up on and said, you know, support your president if you want, but don't tell me that's good economics because it's not. And so that's really the gist of what I wrote. And it did get to your point on certainly X, a lot of negative commentary as me as a liberal, but if I'm a quote liberal attacking those tariffs, then I join the liberal editorial page of the Wall Street Journal and the liberal American Enterprise Institute and the liberal Hoover Institution in defending the global trade system against those tariffs.
Yeah. So, but listen, look, you know what, Dan, it made people think. And when you write a piece like that, and I respect you for how you write this stuff. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people, I suspect, even within the Republican Party who may say, you know, I don't really like this, but I gotta root for the team. I mean, Dan Haar, isn't that the essence of this whole team, that this whole thing, that whether it's left or right, up or down, we root for the uniform, don't we, if we want to win?
We do, but if I'm a newspaper columnist and a presence online in Connecticut, which I am, I'm going to make the point that she has a shot at being governor of the state of Connecticut. And I said in the column that she's done a good job, and that if the Democrats self-destruct, you know, look, for a Republican to win these days for governor, the Democrats certainly, they need a little bit of help from the Democrats.
Yeah.
But the Democrats are very good at shooting themselves in the foot.
Mm.
For example, if they spend too much money and blow through the spending cap this year, that might count as shooting themselves in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has a window. There is a path to victory for Aaron Stewart, right? It may be a narrow path because she has to do the threading of the needle. She has to get through the primary, which is largely conservative, you know, 300,000 to 400,000, not even that showing up at the polls, maybe maybe 80,000 people showing up at the polls to win a Republican primary, and then she has to beat the Democrat. So that's the context in which I wrote.
Dan Harr, the guest, of course, every Wednesday at this time, Hearst Connecticut Media. Donald Trump's second term and the pandemic, you make that comparison. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, as Stephen Colbert said, this time the illness is the president or something like that. You know, I am comparing a virus to a human consciously. And there are, the number one point that I make about both is that both coronavirus, as we called it in the early days, and Trump 2 are all about chaos.
Yeah.
Right. As I wrote several times 5 years ago during the pandemic, if you like order and you like predictability, this is not the pandemic for you.
No.
Every day there was a different surprise. Every day there was some crazy stuff happening that you know, and it could be in science, it could be in education, it could be in politics, it could be in sports, it is that same thing with Trump. The other comparison that I made with Trump and coronavirus is both things, the president and the virus, were all about creating isolation, right?
In other words,
the virus isolated us by us having to live separately. You couldn't go out. The president isolates us from the world by having, by attacking our allies, by attacking NATO, by attacking Zelensky. He's also in trade pursuing an isolationist policy. And so both tended to be isolation. And there were lots of other comparisons, and I'm happy to debate that comparison if somebody wants.
All right. We should put that one on pay-per-view. A couple of other things here before we get to the Avello thing, which I have a theory on. But housing, and again, the housing thing, it's always there, Dan Harr, in almost every legislative session. But what is going on here with that?
This is a pretty watered-down version of fair share. For the listeners who haven't followed that buzzword, buzzwords, fair share is the belief, and it's not any one bill, but it is the belief that each city and town in Connecticut, each town in Connecticut should be responsible for allowing a certain amount of affordable housing.
Yeah.
Even New Canaan. I'm talking to you, New Canaan.
Wow.
And I'm channeling Doug
Carr. Boy.
In any case, even New Canaan, even Darien has been better than New Canaan. But every town should have the responsibility, and that's how you have an economically diverse state. And we think that's a better thing. Now, I get that the other side has an argument. Fair share is essentially the various sets of bills that lays out how we can move toward that. The version that's up right now in the legislature is about as watered down as it gets. 4 years ago, there was a pretty stringent bill that said, if you don't build, we're going to give you a number, and if you don't build that number, you know, we won't, as David Letterman used to say to states, you won't have a quarter. We won't make a quarter. And right, in other words, the state will have sanctions against the town that does. We don't do that. This is all carrot, this bill. There's no stick.
No stick.
This is all, how can we help you get to this point? And it still probably won't pass.
Yeah, I mean, it's so provincial, Dan, really. And finally, and I've gotten like 2.5 hours of calls on this today, text messages, emails, people angry on one side or the other. In about the 90 seconds we have left, what's your take on the Avello thing? We know the nuts and bolts on this, but you have Mr. Tong, you have the governor trying to tread lightly, you've got the legislature weighing in now. What are your thoughts on this?
I feel strongly both ways.
This is tough.
This is a tough, tough issue. Mm-hmm. And what I can say is that it is reprehensible for an airline that is trying to appeal and has two of its hubs, one in Burbank and one in New Haven, in areas that have a lot of people that are rather insulted by these flights and think they're rather insensitive. But on the other hand, you know, look, Avello is a startup airline. They had a very fast start, and they're facing some headwinds.
Yeah.
They're like any airline, you know, airlines are notorious.
Oh, it's a rough business. Oh, it's hard.
It's a rough business. And Andrew, my colleague, Mark Zaretsky, quoted an email from Andrew Levy, the founder and CEO of Avello, that said, you know, look, this is going to help us bring flights to New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough to argue with.
It is. It is. And I don't think we've heard the last of it. Folks, all these stories go on. Google his name. Check him out. They all come down in a nice, easy-to-read format there. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media, senior editor and a columnist. Dan, be good. Have a good weekend, and we'll chat next week, sir. Appreciate it.
Great to be here.
All right, thanks. Dan Haar there. Wanna, though, give you the very latest on the tax and tariff deal, the tariff deal at the White House. And joining us right now live from D.C. is our friend Linda Kenyon from CBS News. Hey, Linda. Hi, it's Paul here in Connecticut. Good afternoon. So is there anything going on today we should know? What's
not
hanging?
Not a totally boring day, Paul, but thanks for calling.
Wow, Linda, I got to tell you, it's like a slot machine here. Everything was red up until about 1:30 this afternoon, and man, did this thing turn on a dime or what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, I looked up, and there were people gathering in the White House driveway where we have a little stakeout position set up. And I was like, oh, something's going on. So I ran up there, and the Treasury Secretary came out, Scott Bessent, and he made the announcement that the president is going to pause the trade tariffs for a period of 90 days. During that time, many of those countries, the U.S. trading partners, have said that they want to negotiate. Some have already reached out, and the president says pretty much all of them have reached out. Some of them are making trips to the U.S., Japan, South Korea, Mexico. They were already supposed to come to Washington, but now they're having a lot of conversations on the phone very quickly, and the president said he'll pause those tariffs for 90 days. In part because they have said that they would negotiate. They want to come up with a deal. The president says he wants a fair deal. And in part because they did not retaliate against the U.S. with tariffs on their own. Mm. Now, that's just one part of the story.
Yeah.
The other part is China. And China apparently did retaliate with tariffs of its own. And so the president doubled the tariffs. So it's now up to 125%, which is hard to even, understand.
Yeah, how do you do that math? You know, Linda, finally, I'm sure all you folks there in the White House core will have your ears to the ground of how much of this was, you guys and gals are getting the spin now as well. This is a masterstroke, but I wonder, Linda, what Mr. Trump was hearing about, hey, we can't afford another day in the red. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to do something here, you know?
Well, I will tell you what the Treasury Secretary said. He said, this is what we planned all along.
Okay.
he said, we were just trying to get people to negotiate, and we knew that this was going to happen, and we were not surprised by it. Then the president made some comments afterward, and he said, was asked that question, and he said, people got the yips.
Yeah. Well, yeah, to the tune of a couple of hundreds or millions or trillions of dollars. Linda Kenyon at the White House for us. Linda, thank you. Be good, and we'll chat down the road. Thanks, Linda.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Yeah, the yips, you think? Wow, how about that? Linda, thank you.